Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
As we prepare to hear the Word of God read and proclaimed, let's join in prayer. God of Epiphanies, you reveal yourself to us in diverse and numerous ways. Free us from the distractions that turn our focus away from you and your word. Open us to the truth you revealed to us today. Amen. Our first reading comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Listen now for God's word. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exultation, and you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Our second scripture reading comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 25. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, people possessed by demons or having epilepsy or affected with paralysis, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Take a moment and prayerfully consider what is happening in our country and in our world this week. Pay attention to your body as you do. What do you feel? What are you carrying? Go ahead and take that moment now. Although this may not be true for everyone, taking a moment to reflect might lead us into a moment of heaviness. Sometimes all of this settles in our bodies quietly, like a background noise that we've learned to live with. But other times it presses in a lot more sharply. And it's not just our country or world that does this to us. It also shows up in our own daily lives. It might show up in worry about finances, in the tension of navigating strained relationships, in concern for parents or children and grandchildren, in health scares, in exhaustion, in uncertainty, in anxiety. It definitely shows up in the steady streams of bad news that seems to continue on the daily. Even when life is good, that heaviness can still linger, shaping how we move through this world, how we feel it and hold it in our bodies, how we sleep at night, how we hope. And often we don't realize how much we're carrying until we stop long enough to notice it. Our reading from Isaiah is found in the first of three sections in the book of Isaiah, which means that we are standing inside of a moment where destruction is unfolding right before the people's eyes. In the first section of Isaiah, Assyria is building a vast empire driven by power and control. It is their demand to have absolute domination over every region they conquer. The northern kingdom of Israel sits directly in their path, small and vulnerable, yet agriculturally rich and strategically positioned along key trade routes. So Assyria moves in, and it is their intention to break the spirit of the entire population. One of Assyria's most powerful weapons they will use is deportation. The people will be forced to march hundreds of miles away. Families will be separated, and the community will be scattered across all these different foreign lands. This is intentional dismantling by the Assyrian Empire. Assyria understands that if they divide the community and if they uproot the people from their homes, their very resistance will collapse. Their identity will be destroyed. The first of these regions to experience this devastation are Zebulun and Naphtali, the northern borderlands that will be later known as Galilee. But Assyria is not yet finished. At this moment in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 9, the capital of the northern kingdom, Samaria, still stands. But within 10 years, Assyria will completely destroy the northern kingdom along with Samaria, and they will deport most of the remaining people. They will erase the northern kingdom's identity. Our passage this morning from Isaiah is speaking before the northern kingdom has fallen, even though the people know it is coming. And it is in that moment that Isaiah dares to proclaim, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." This is hope unfolding in the middle of trauma. The Gospel of Matthew brings us back to that same very area, the same fragile region where Isaiah once dared to proclaim that hope was already unfolding. We are brought back to Galilee, to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and this area is still living in the shadow of the empire. Only now, instead of Assyria, it is Rome that now rules. And then the gospel tells us something else. Jesus begins his ministry after John the Baptist is arrested. The consequences have already been made clear. Danger will come to anyone who opposes the empire. Once again, hope is unfolding in the middle of trauma. But this time, hope does not come only as prophetic words spoken into darkness. This time, hope will soon walk the dusty roads, visit people and communities, heal wounded bodies, and speak directly to the fear and despair. Hope is unfolding in the middle of trauma. But now, hope has a body. The Word made flesh the incarnate Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel. This past week, I was in Chicago for a training event through Vibrant Faith as our congregation begins a year-long grant-funded research project on raising faithful children, especially within the context of worship. There will be many exciting announcements in the weeks and months ahead, and I am deeply grateful for the ways that our congregation continues to lift up faith formation across all generations. This event was a gathering of 10 churches from across the country who are all beginning this journey together. And it was there that I met the Reverend Sarah Anderson, a pastor at Christ the King Lutheran Church in New Brighton, Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities and in a neighborhood located just minutes from where both Renee Nicole Good, as well as where George Floyd were killed. During one of the sessions, Reverend Anderson was invited to share what is happening in her congregation's surrounding neighborhoods. She shared ICE agents are circling schools and hospitals, monitoring entrances and exits. Families are afraid to leave their homes, so agents are going door to door, detaining parents in front of their children, and in some cases, holding children so that their parents will surrender. As a result of all of this, more than 200 students from local schools have been reported absent because families are terrified of what might happen if their children leave their house. You might have also seen in the recent news that ICE agents detained a 5-year-old boy, Liam, and his father as they were arriving home from preschool. Witnesses say and video footage show that the agents used Liam, the 5-year-old boy, to knock on the door of his own home in an attempt to draw out other family members. When another adult begged the officers to let her take Liam so that he would not be frightened and alone, they refused. Instead, Liam and his father were taken into custody and transported to a detention center in Texas. 5 years old. Still small enough to need help tying his shoes. Still young enough to carry a backpack that nearly swallows his shoulders. Still learning how to read, still learning how to trust, and now learning fear by being grabbed by masked agents. And these agents are overwhelmingly targeting brown and black communities, which means that we are not just talking about immigration policy here. We are talking about racial profiling, agents targeting specific people, specific neighborhoods, and specific schools. Entire communities are being shaped by this intimidation. This is trauma. And in the middle of that unfolding trauma, Rev. Anderson described how her church has responded. Christ the King has organized a community care chain where members are bringing food, supplies, and other necessities for families across the entire neighborhood. They have become a lifeline of support. They are the hands and feet of Jesus. They are embodied hope. It is in this kind of lived witness we hear the same call of Jesus, same call from Jesus. When Jesus walked alongside the Sea of Galilee and called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he finds them in the middle of their work, in the middle of their routines, with their hands in the nets and their feet in the boat. These are young men trying to make a living and feed their families. But Jesus calls on them, and they follow. They drop their nets, they leave their boats, they loosen their grip on what has become the primary source of their security and identity. But they trust Jesus They trust that their lives can be more than just the survival, that their lives can be more than just this routine, that their lives can be more than just simply getting through the day. Leaving their boats will allow them to open themselves to the wider community, a community that is in need. And when Jesus tells them that they will become fishers of people, he is asking them to join him in care and rescue, presence and solidarity. He calls them to join him in the slow and sacred work of drawing people out of danger, isolation, and despair. This is what discipleship looks like when hope has a body. This is what Christ the King Lutheran Church is doing. Ordinary people. They are loosening their grip on safety. They are stepping out of their boats of comfort. They are letting go of control. And they are following Jesus into uncertain and costly spaces because they trust that God's light is already there. Embodied hope continues wherever ordinary people dare to carry light into dark places. This is what it means to be the body of Christ in the world. Not that we replace Jesus or become saviors ourselves, but that we become vessels of grace, mercy, love, and healing. That we become vessels of hope. Vessels of hope. Following Jesus is an invitation to step into the light God places before us, trusting that these small acts of love can ripple outward in ways we may never fully see. Faithfulness and discipleship often begins in paying attention, in compassion and in courage and in presence. It begins in the commitment to show up for others when danger makes hiding away safer. It is in the commitment to love our neighbors in the same way God loves us. Hope unfolds as people choose love again and again and again in the middle of a world that so often makes silence and ignoring injustice so much easier. But when we take the bold enough step to be a vessel of hope in this world, we find ourselves part of a long and holy procession of people who have trusted the light of God across centuries and cultures. They trust that this light will always be stronger than darkness. They trust that they are embodied hope, that they are embodied hope, that we are embodied hope. Once again, hope is unfolding in the middle of trauma. And now, hope has a body. And because we are the body of Christ, that hope now shines through us. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.